Today's shir is Masechta B'Mitzvah Chavav. We will begin Daf Chav Hayom Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yom. It says the Mishnah Matzah Begal. If something was found on a rubble of stone, B'Kaisel Yoshan, or an old wall, it was found in one of the crevices of an old wall. It says the Mishnah Re'el Shaloi, the halacha is that it belongs to the finder. However, Matzah B'Kaisel Chadash, if it was found in a new wall, so not halach will be bechetzi lechutz. If it's in the outer half of the wall, then shalai, it belongs to the finder, because we're going to assume that somebody from the Rishus Rabbim left it there and forgot it there. Bechetzi lefnim, we found it in the inner side, shebal habayis. It belongs to the person who owns that wall, because now we assume that it was he who left it there. And even if it is a circumstance that there was yiyush, we're not going to accept that yiyush. The reason we're not going to accept that yiyush is because, as the Rishonim point out, if yiyush takes place b'rishus balim in the property of the owner, then that's not considered a yush, and therefore it belongs to the owner. Im hayu maskir l'acherim, if the house is rented out to tenants, afilu b'toich habayis, even if it was found in the home, harel shaloi, it becomes the property of the person who found it. Because again, we cannot be certain under these circumstances that who was the one that owned this money. So the Mishnah began where something was found in somebody's property, somebody's wall, and the question is who does this belong to? And the Mishnah said that it belongs to the finder. So many Rishonim asked the question that why is this the halacha? Why don't, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, we've spoken about a king and chatzar. So if we've spoken about king and chatzar in our Masechta, so the halacha should be that my chatzar, something that's found in my property, should become mine. So Tosfos answers that the halacha of king and chatzar only applies something that will that is eventually going to be found in my property. If it's something that will not necessarily be found in my property, there we don't say king and chatzar. The Rambam says that since we are now speaking about something that nobody knows about, so the halacha is that something which is avod mimenu mikolodom, that nobody is aware of, kinyan chatzar doesn't apply. And the Ravid is not satisfied with that explanation that the Rambam offers, because the Rambam says, isn't that contradictory to everything we've discussed when we speak about aveda? Others explain that this is not a chatzah mishtameris. When we spoke about kinyan chatzah earlier, we learned that the only time a chatzah has the ability to make a kinyan is where it's a chatzah mishtameris. This is not considered a chatzah mishtameris. The Rashba, quoting the Ravid, says that the gal that is discussed in our Mishnah is a gal that's a rubble of stone. And it's a rubble of stone, it doesn't belong to anybody. The Mordechai wants to say a very interesting chiddush. He says that chatzer shel adam koinaloi, only something which is hefker. And he says that hefker and aveda are not the same. And therefore, even though a chatzer could make a kinyan in hefker, but not by something which is an aveda. The Shita suggests that when a chotzer is koina, it's only koina after you put something which you intend to buy in the chotzer, and that's the way your chotzer could be koinet for you, but not in the reversed order. The Rishonim ask, the Mishnah differentiated that when it's in a koisel chadosh, in a new wall, whether it's in the side facing you or the other side. So ask the Rishonim, the part that was left there, in the part that's towards the Rishus Rabbim was very possibly left there deliberately by somebody. And we've been discussing in our shiurim that when something is left there deliberately, when there's a suffix, we just learned in our previous year, suffix hinuach, when there's a question if it was left there deliberately, the law says you may not take it. So why over here are we going to allow him to take it? So Rashi and Tosfos explained that this Mishnah is speaking about that it was there a long time. And therefore, it you could tell, as we'll speak in the Gemara, it's already rusty or whatever. And since it's there for quite a while, we could assume that there was already Yish Bailim. And once there was Yish Bailim, you could pick it up. Again, here too, the question is that why won't we say Kinyan Chatzor on this wall? And here too, the Rashba answers that since this is a Chatzor, this is a wall that's open to the Rishus Rabbim. So since it's a wall that's open to the Rishus Rabbim, therefore it's considered a Chatzor Sheina Mishtameris, and the Chatzor Mishtameris is not Koina, or the other terrors that we gave from the Mordechai. The Mordechai, it says that it's a situation where that Chatzor is only Koina Hefker, but this is Aveda, and since it's an Aveda, the Halacha says by Aveda, we don't rely on that. So the Mishnah said, at the end of the Mishnah, that im hayu maskira l'acherim, afil v'tech abayis, hareu l'shaloi. Because since we can't know who is the one that owns this, is it the landlord, is it the tenant? And therefore, Pasha Pshat, the Mishnah is teaching us that it belongs to the finder. And that's the opinion of the way the Ritva, quoting his Rebbe, the Rosh, says. And the Ritva explains that what did the Rosh mean? The Rosh means to say, because if this house, we can't identify who left it there, so there's so many different people who are coming to question. Since there's so many people who come into question, we can't identify and say that it belongs to somebody specifically. The Rosh says that since anything that we can never clearly identify, we don't consider it an Aveda that we have to announce. Rather, we consider it an Aveda that is kept by the finder. But the Ritva actually has a different approach. And Ritva says the definition, when the Mishnah says Areyu Shaloi, is because since we can't tell does it belong to the landlord, or does it belong to the tenant, or does it belong to the finder, his says that that definition of Hare Elu Shaloi means that it belongs to the landlord, actually. Very interesting. The Shalos HaTshuvos Melamed L'Hoyel discusses a situation where somebody owned a house, sold a house, and now the buyer of the house does construction in the house. And when he's doing that construction, he found a barrel full of gold pieces. And the question is, can the seller say, well, if I knew that there was such a treasure in my property, I would have never sold it. Can he claim that it was a mekhtos? So the Malam Mahal says he can't say that it's a mekhtos, because you could only say mekachtos on something that you could have known about and you forgot about. But something that you didn't know about, then you can make claim a mekachtos. And now he says, so now the question is, does it belong to the buyer or does it belong to the buyer's employee? And he says that it belongs actually to the employee, as we've discussed earlier in our Masechta. Even if we'll say the Yad Poel Ki Yad Balabayis, and the worker who's working on digging this property is considered an extension of his employer, that's only if his job is that he has to be 24 hours or whatever amount of hours, do whatever he's told. But if he has a specific job, and while he's doing his job, he happens to find something, it belongs to him. So the Mishnah, the Gemara begins to explain why if something was found in an old wall or a pile of rubble, it becomes the property of the finder. Panam b'nei sh'yokha lamalai, because the fine that could say, shalom arayim hayu. This was here already from the time of the Maroyim, and therefore from the when the Umas Ha'olam were on this property. So Ritva explains that the wall has to be in existence, an ancient wall. The Rosh has a much different explanation of how to differentiate between an old wall and a new wall. He says an old wall is a wall that we don't remember when it was built, and a new wall is a wall that we still recollect when it was built. So we have a big machlokes, a Ritva and the Rosh. The Ritva says the wall has to be ancient. The Rosh says as long as we don't recall when it was built, it's enough to be considered an old wall. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh. So again, says the Gemara, when something was found in such a wall, the finder could say, it was here from the time of the Merayim. Ask the Gemara, so ask the Gemara, is it only they who put treasures into the wall? And Jews don't do that? And so why are we so quick to attribute it to the Merayim? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Shadach Tvei. We're speaking about something that has on it a lot of rust. And the fact that it has a lot of rust on it is clearly an indication that it was here from a long time. And since it's clearly an indication that it was here from such a long time, that's why it belongs to the finder. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah of the Kais L'Chadosh, if it was found in a new wall, so there it depends. If it's towards the Rishus Rabbim, it belongs to the finder. But if it's towards the inside, it belongs to Bal Habayis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Sakina, certain items are not identified or determined by where they actually are, but are rather determined, the determination is made based on how they are situated. And says the Gemara, Amar Vashi, Sakina, if there's a knife, Basakata, we look at the handle of the knife. If the handle is facing towards the inside of the house, then it belongs to the people, then it was obviously put by the people who live in the house. And therefore, if it was put there by the people who live in the house, it belongs to them. On the other hand, if the handle is in the opposite direction, it was obviously left there by people who pass by in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The people who pass by in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim don't think they're going to be able to find it, and therefore it belongs to the person who finds it. The kisa, and the same thing when we speak about a wallet. Those days, the wallets had like a string to fasten it. Basashantse, and then we look in which direction they were put. Vela, asked the Gemara, when we learned in our Mishnah, Masnis and Diktani, when we learned in the Mishnah, Bechetzi l'chot shaloi, Bechetzi l'fnim shabal abayis, the Mishnah just said it depends on which part of the wall we find them, inside or outside. Why, asked the Gemara, based on what we just learned now, does the Mishnah not say, Velechsi, ikat el gav, ikat el bar, where is the handle? Shantzi lagar, where's the string of the wallet? Answers the Gemara, Masnissen, our Mishnah is referring to Udruva Naska, pieces of material, pieces of metal that don't have a handle, and therefore we can't tell. Of course, the Achroinim ask that why does the Mishnah not mention what will be if it's put to the width? He was speaking about something that was put to the length, and therefore we have to see where it is and where the handle is. Why don't we discuss in a case of where we don't, in that discussion. So he says that the Maram Shif says that things weren't put down that way. Things were always put in the direction that I'm holding it. And therefore, it's not going to be. The Shas HaTshuvos, Melamed L'Hoyel, discusses another situation. He says that there was somebody who was working to somebody who sold a house to a good friend of his, and when the person who bought it found a treasure in the house, there was a dispute who was entitled to it. And there's an interesting shiloh where there was somebody who was asked to work in somebody's house. And as we said, it belongs to the finder. Here, that the there was somebody working in somebody's home, and he was working on a lamp. And as he was working on the lamp fell down, and under the lamp, there was money that was obviously put there. And the owner of this home says, "Oh, I forgot about the money that I had left there." Meanwhile, the money that had been left there was coming down. And the money was coming down. The question is, who owns the money? The Baal Bayis says, "It's my money. I had just forgotten about it." And the finder says that it's mine because since you had the miyash from it, so it's a regular metzia that I found. But here, the Paiskim say that even though, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, that perhaps the situation that's discussed in our Mishnah, we can't use the concept of kinyan chatzar, here we can use the kinyan chatzar. It was this person's property all along, and therefore it's his. We learned in our Mishnah that the question was, when something was found in this wall, where was it found? Towards the Rishus Rabbim or towards the Rishus Yochid? Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a Brice, and Mayukaisim and Molamahen, we can't see in which direction it is. Is it towards the Rishus Rabbim or towards the Rishus Yochid? So then the Halacha is Cholkin. We should divide it between the person who found it and the person who owns the wall. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, we know that wherever the Halacha is, that it should be divided. So what is the Braisa telling us different? So some Rishonim say that we don't always say Cholkim. Sometimes we say we don't. So why over here is the Gemara saying Pshita when it said Cholkim? So the Rishonim explained we don't say Cholkim in a case where there's a Marakama, where there's a clear first owner. But here we don't know that there's a Marakama. When there is no Marakama, the halacha is that everybody agrees that Cholkin. Answers the Gemara, Latricha the Mifshe Bechad Gisa. It's leaning in one direction. And since it's slanted in one direction, Ma'adatem Ishtapuche Ishtapuch, we should say that it was originally from where it came, but just because of the slant, it started sliding down. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that, and it's rather, we're going to say that the halacha is chalkin. We learned further, Hamay Maskirim Lacherim, if this was an area that was rented to others, so the halacha is afilo b'toich habayis, even if it's found in the house, harei l'shaloi. And the way we learned, although we called it a machlokes rishonim, we learned harei l'shaloi, it belongs to the finder. But ask the Gemara, why do we say that? Lezel shunt halacha be the lazel basabasra. We should say it followed whoever was there last. Milay Tanan. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah discusses Marshanim to Lefnei Sochrei Behema. Money that's found in front of animal merchants in Yerushalayim. La'olam, whether it's Yontif time or whether it's not Yontif time, we assume that that money is Maisa Sheni. Because the halacha is that in the first and the second, and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, Maisa Sheni has to either be taken up to Yerushalayim, or the money, the value of the Maisa Sheni should be redeemed, and that money should be brought to Yerushalayim and be used to spend to buy for food in Yerushalayim. So what used to be is that people, either they brought their own Maisa Sheni money, or they had such an abundance of Maisa Sheni money, they would give to people who were traveling to Yerushalayim and would say that that money should be used to buy animals for Karban Shlomim. So most animals that were bought in the meat market were being bought with Maaser Sheni money. And therefore, when money is found there, the halacha is we have to assume that it's Maaser Sheni money. But Har Bayis, but however money that's found on Har Bayis, we assume even yont of time is chulin, because the money that's brought up to Ma'aser Sheni is money brought up to Yerushalayim. We're not buying, that's not where we're buying the animals with Ma'aser Sheni money. And it must be that it fell there. And Yerushalayim, and we assume that it's regular money. It, the Yerushalayim, B'Shayim Ma'aser Shana, money that's found in Yerushalayim, most of the year we could assume is chulin, that people that live in Yerushalayim and have money and use their money, and it's regular money, b'shas regular, but yont of time, since there's such an abundance of oilei regalim, we assume that hakol ma'aser, we assume that everything is ma'aser. Achroinim ask that the halacha is that a dovish sheish le'matirin, something that ultimately will become mutter, ain't a bottle b'roiv. So here, the same thing. Ma'aser sheni is a dovish sheish le'matirin. So therefore, that's why it shouldn't become bottle. Says, so the Tzlach explains that the money is not considered a dovish sheish le'matirin. The actual ma'aser sheni is considered a dovish sheish le'matirin, but not the money. Kivega says that on one hand, you're right, Ma'aser Sheni is considered Dovish Yesh L'Matirim, and therefore, the fact if it's a roiv or not should not be a consideration, but that's only when we know for certain that it's Ma'aser Sheni. Here, we're not certain that it's Ma'aser Sheni, and therefore, we can't assume that we don't just say that it's a Dovish Yesh L'Matirim, that the halacha is that, for that reason, we can't apply the rule of roiv. So Tysus asks a question. Yes, as we explained, most animals that were bought in Yerushalayim were bought with Ma'aser Sheni money. But what happens when somebody comes to the animal merchant and he buys an animal? What he does is that the Ma'aser Sheni money is given to the merchant. He gives you an animal, and the Ma'aser Sheni money is no longer Ma'aser Sheni money. So why are we saying that just because it's by the animal merchant, are we going to consider it Ma'aser Sheni money? So he answers, since one seller sells a lot of animals to many buyers, and the buyers are more than the sellers, so we don't look at the seller, we look at all the buyers, and the buyers are primarily bringing using Ma'aser Sheni money. This is actually an interesting point that Tysus makes, and it's used for a question that we've mentioned in our shiurim. The halacha is that if there are 9 kosher butcher shops in a community and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, and meat is found in the street, the halacha is called the parish, meruba parish, and we assume that it came from the 9 kosher butcher shops. The question that's always discussed, the Chachmas Adam and others discuss this question, what will be the halacha if that one non-kosher butcher shops sells much more meat than all the kosher butcher shops combined? Do we follow the amount of butcher shops, which are primarily kosher, or do we follow the amount of meat? Here it seems that we follow the amount, and since we're talking about one place, and we look at the amount of people in that place, and most of the people in that place, we just said, Taisha says, are carrying Ma'aser Sheni money. Therefore, we consider it Ma'aser Sheni. Tysus gives another teretz that we follow the original chazaka. Most, when we don't know what to do, we go with the cheskes kama, what it was originally. Most, the money that was brought into the shop was Ma'aser Sheni. Yes, it loses its status when you sell the animal, but since it started off as Ma'aser Sheni, that was the halacha of Ma'aser Sheni. So we say that any money that's found on the Har HaBayis is chulin. So the choice answers, the Ktsais asks, why is any money that's left on the Har HaBayis not considered Kegdish because of the Kinyan Chatzar that it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Magen Avraham says, from here we say that there's no such thing as Kinyan Chatzar by Hegdish. The Ktsais gives a different answer. He says, that when do we say Kinyan Chatzar? By something that was supposed to be there. But this, he uses here the concept which we learned earlier in our parak, a bisur asur liyadei. And since bisur asur liyadei, it fell, it wasn't left there intentionally, we don't say kinyan chatzar. Tysus asks a question that the Gemara in Masechta Brachis teaches us that also lichanes, the Gemara in Masechta Brachis, that Samach Beis Amar Beis teaches us that also lichanes laharabayis, but ma'as atzurim loy besadinoi. You're not allowed to walk into the harabayis with money, mimnei kvayr hamakim. So how do we discuss money that's found in the harabayis? So Tysus answers that the money, that the halacha that you're not allowed to walk on the Har Bayis with money is only money that you have out of your pocket. That is inappropriate. But you're allowed to keep money in your pocket, and that's the money that's being referred to here. The Rambam, because of this question, has a whole different approach. And his approach is that we assume that the money that's being found is, as we often learn in Shas, that things are found, that things are found in, that things are sold, were sold by the Beis HaMikdash, and they would get money from the buyers. The buyers who bought those objects obviously used their own, made that money chulin, and that's why most of the money there is found chulin. The Shailas HaTshuvas, the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed discusses a situation where somebody passed away, and they, a couple that passed away, and they didn't have any children, and they donated their home to the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva, and then the Rosh Yeshiva donated that apartment to the yeshiva. And the yeshiva asked some of the boys who learned in the yeshiva to please help clean out the apartment, and they agreed, and they took out a couch that was found in the apartment, and the pot and the couch, when they dropped it or whatever, they found that there was money in that couch. And the question is, who is the owner of that money? Is it, there's many different people who want to say that they are the owner of that money. The yeshiva says that they're the owner of the money. The original owner of the apartment says that he donated his apartment, but not that money. And the people and the boys who carried it out say that it was theirs. So the question here is that when the yeshiva told them to clear out the apartment, it was a hefker. They were mafker everything. And the question is that considered a hefker? Is that considered a hefker? And the Cheshukei Chemed says that this is considered a situation of hefker betos, because it wasn't that he knew about it, so you can't call that hefker. And therefore, since the yeshiva had given explicit permission to the boys to take it out and it's theirs, the money actually, he says, would belong to the boys who found it. It continues the Gemara in explaining the halachas that we've been discussing about Ma'aseh Sheni. Vamram Shmai Bazi'ira, my Tama, why Yerushalayim, the rest of the year, money is found, we assume it's Maisa money, and we don't say that it's most of the money that's found all year round, and most of the money that's found all year round is not Maisa money. So he explains, however, Shuka Yerushalayim assume Eskabed Kol Yoyim, they used to sweep the streets of Yerushalayim every day, so any money that was there from before was take was cleared up. So what's left now during Yontif time is Ma'aseh Sheni money. Al Mamrinan. So what do we see from that entire halacha? What we see here is that Kama Kama Ozli, that what was there originally is swept away. Vahane Achrinan Nenu. And what's found is what's there now. So ask the Gemara, we should apply the same principle in our Mishnah as well. Hochanami, in our Mishnah we should say, Kama Kama Ozel, what was there originally is gone, and Hani, and whatever is found in the apartment now, is certainly belongs to the person who's there now. And Rashi explains, that's the way Rashi explains, that it should belong to the current tenant. Tysus has a different pshat. Tysus says that the Gemara means to ask, it should belong to the landlord. Answers the Gemara, Amrei Shlokim Shimba Kapara, Kigoyin Shaso Pondik Lishlosh Yisrael. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there were at least three people living there, and everybody could claim it's mine. That's why we say it is Yush, says the Gemara. But now that we've explained the Mishnah that way, we're able to answer a question that we discussed on Daf Chaf Dalet quite extensively, that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that if you find something, b'makom sherabim mitzuyim, does the halacha he says it belongs to the finder. And then when we were learning of Shimon Elazar's opinion, the Gemara extensively wanted to know, is it in a place where it's Roiv Nachrim, or even if it's a place where it's Roiv Yisrael? So says the Gemara, from the way we just explained the Mishnah, it would be clearly indication that A, the halacha is of Shimon Elazar, and we pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, even in a case of Rav Yisrael. But we were left with a question on Daf Chaf Dalet. So it's a proof that that can't be the way we're going to explain our Mishnah. Therefore, says the Gemara, Ella Omer Rav Nashi by Yaakov, the case was, Kigoyin she'asu pundik l'shlosh of the Chavim. And when we have many Nachrim there, certainly, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the halacha is that it belongs to the finder. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Vua, we could explain that our Mishnah is even Shlosh Yisrael. Not because we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, even when there's Rav Yisrael. The reason here is, my Tama, here is a whole different explanation. Because Ahu the Nafamene, the one from whom this money fell, was certainly Miyash. Because Meima Amr, he says, there was nobody else here with me besides these individuals. Amri Kamayu, and I said to them, Kama Zimni Lahadrili, I lost my money, and many times I asked them that I am assuming that you were the ones that found my money, and please, Lahadrili, return my money to me, Vlahadrili, and they never gave it back to me. So it's obvious that they had no intention to give it back. Because idate lehadura, because if they had intention to return it, they would have done so. So the fact that they didn't return it, even though I asked so many times that they should please return it, for hide lehadruli, this that they didn't return it to me is because idate lemigzala, they intended to steal it from me, and therefore there was yiyush here. And once there's yiyush, the halacha is it becomes the property of the finder. Because says the Gemara that when there's yiyush, as the Rav Nachman tamei, so Rav Nachman follows something that he taught us. Damar Rav Nachman, ra seller shenafel mishnayim. If he saw a coin that fell from two people, the halacha is chayiv lahachzer. He must return it. My Tama, says the Gemara, who the nafamene, the one that lost it, lo miyash, he doesn't give up. He says meima amr, because he says as follows: michti in shachrin alav bedoy. There's nobody that was with me elahai, only this other individual. Na niktale vaminale, I will be able to demand from him and say to him, Antu de Shaklete, it must be you who took it, because there was no one else here besides me. And therefore the loser is confident that he's going to get it back. And since he's confident that he's going to get it back, there's no yiyush. And the person who picked it up before there was yiyush, going back to the concept that we discussed quite extensively earlier, this would be a perfect example of Yush Leimidas, and therefore the finder may not keep it. However, if there were three people there, Shloisha and Chayv Lachzer, if there were three people there, then the finder does not have to return it. My Tama, Hahu the Nafmine Vada Miyash, the person who lost the money certainly was Miyash, because he says to himself, Mei Mama, Michti Trei Havabadoi, there were two people traveling with me. In the Tikna Lahai, if I'll demand one of them to return it to me, Amma Amaloy Shekelti. He'll say, I never took it. V'nekatn l'hai, and then I'll go to the other person. Amaloy Shekelti. So here, he knows that he doesn't have recourse because there were other people there. And since there was no recourse, that makes Yiyush. And since that creates a situation of Yiyush, the finder may keep it. Amarava. Haida Amrit B'Shloisha. This that we just discussed, that when there are three people there, Einachayv L'Achzer, he doesn't have to return it with the explanation that the Gemara just gave. Loya Marin, it's only said at the Les B'Shar Prutal Chal Ech V'Echad. What was lost wouldn't be enough that it could be divided, that everyone should have a Shava Pruta. Aval Isbe Shava Prutal Chal Chad V'Chad. If there's enough that everybody would have a Shava Pruta, then Chayv L'Achzer. Because my Tama, what's the reason? Emer, because the finder has to be concerned that Emer Shitva Ninu, that maybe all these people were owned this, the coin that found belonged to all three of them. And therefore, since it belonged to all three of them, the halach is that, and there's a amount of a pruta that each one is entitled to. So since there's a amount of pruta that each one is entitled to, so there's a chiyuv when there's that, when that's the case, there's a chiyuv hashava. Ikadamri, Amarava, Afgav de Lesbe El Shtav, Shtei Prutus. It doesn't have to be worth three Prutus, even two Prutus, Chayv L'Achzer. Maitama, because we need to be concerned, Eim Ashut V'Ninu, that they were partners. V'chad Menai, Achule Achle L'Montzik Abachaveri, and one gave up his share. And the one that gave up his share, so now it's two people owning something which is worth two Prutus. So here we have a situation where we're not sure if there's Yiyush. And the question is, when is Yiyush a valid Yiyush or not? The Chashuk Yechem discusses a situation where there was somebody who worked for yeshiva and traveled overseas to collect money for the yeshiva. And he was mugged, and the money that he had been successful to collect was taken away from him. And then that money was found. But we know for sure that this person who had been robbed was Mayash on the money. So the question is, he is not a full-fledged owner of that money because he wasn't collecting the money on his own behalf. He was collecting on the money on behalf of the yeshiva. And the question is it his? So even though we know for certain that he was Miyash, the question is it his to be Miyash? So there's a Machloikas HaPoiskim. Some Poiskim say that until the money is actually given to the yeshiva, so it's under the control of the person who's collecting it on behalf of the yeshiva. Since it's under the control of the person who's collecting it for the yeshiva, so his yish is a valid yish. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozna Zatzal, in Chel Gimel Simon Kuf Mem Aleph, says that no. Since this money was the yeshivas, and the yeshiva never even knew that they had the money, so it's certainly a case of yish loy medas, and therefore it's not going to be considered a yish, and the money has to be returned. Says the Ma'avam Rav Rosala Shanafla, if somebody saw a coin fall out from somebody's pocket, and not lefnei yush, that means he picked it up before there was yush, because there was he picked it up before the owners even were able to recognize that they lost this money, and his intention was amnas legavzoi, and his intention was to keep it for himself. So this person who picked it up with the intention to keep it for himself, over Bekulon. He is over all the possible Averas that one can be over in such a situation. He's over the Avera of Meshum Lai Sigzel. He's over the Avera of that there is no Gzela. Of course, the Rishonim point out that we have to speak about either money that has a Simen or either money that has a Simen. I asks Rashi, we learned at the beginning of the parak, Adam Osul Mashus Bekisa Kol Shah. So how could it be that the money was picked up before Yish? We learned that a person recognizes that his money that's lost. So if we'll say it's money that had a siman, so that's obviously not going to be a question. Because when money in a siman, a person not, money that has a siman is not miyash, or we'll say that it would happen so quickly that he didn't realize yet that he lost the money. So such a person, the Gemara says, is over bakulin. He's over the lavalei sigzel. He's over hashem teshivim. He's over that he has an obligation to return what's lost, and he's doing just the opposite. And the over also lesuch lasalim, you can't act as if you don't recognize. Vavgav the chazur lachiyish, and even after yish, it doesn't make a difference. Matanu the yavlei, because since the owners were miyash, that doesn't change what he did. The sur david ovid, the very that he did has been violated. Not lefnei yish. But when he picked it up, he had the intention like Sira. And only achi yish, the skavim l'gazloi, after the yish, did he change his mind to steal it. Over mishum hashav teshivim, he's over the lav of hashav, he's over the lav of hashav teshivim. Himten lo, if he saw the money on the floor, and he waited to pick up the money, achi nishyashu ba'alim, he was a Talmud Chacham. So he left it on the floor until there was yish. Then, only then, not law. And over el mishum ha'such ha'sal in Bilvad. The only aver that he's going to be aver is the aver of hashav teshiv of la'such ha'sal. And the Ramban says that from here we see that the chiv, the lav of la'such ha'sal always applies. There is no time yish or no yish, the halacha is that it's that he becomes obligated for that all along. The Rambam, so that's how the Rambam learns. That means his chiv hashava doesn't come only after he picks it up. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that the chiv hashava kicks in as soon as he becomes aware of this lost object. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Haiman, the Chazir, the Nafal, Zuzi, the Chavri, Bechalta. Somebody saw that somebody's coins got lost in the sand. V'ashkechei v'ashaklei. And he goes and picks up those coins. The halacha is, Loi m'chayv l'adurilei. He's not obligated to return it. My Tama. Why? So explains the Gemara, Hu the Nafal minei b'yashu. The person who lost this coin in the sand was certainly miyash. And afagav the chazi the isa arbel v'karbel. And even if the person who sees that this person who lost the money is going through the sand, sifting through the sand, trying to find it, meima amar keichad nafam nidei, he, and therefore it's clearly an indication that there was no yish. But still the finder says, just like this person lost his money, another people lost money here. And they were miyash, because the people are normally miyash when something falls in this place. And therefore, and what I found wasn't the coin that belonged to them, to him, that he clearly was a miyash. It was the coin that belonged to somebody else. The Rishonim say a number of points. One point they say is that this halacha only applies if it was a small item. So since it's a small item, there's an assumption that most people are miyash immediately. But if it's a larger item, then you can't have necessarily an assumption that people are miyash. Furthermore, they want to say, what would be the halacha if the object that was lost, the coin that was lost, had a simon? Will the fact that it has a simon be a good reason to say that the person was clearly not miyash? And the thing that I found had the simon that this loser has in it, and the person who lost it has in it, and since what I found has that simon, it's clearly an indication that it belonged to him. It's clearly a case where this individual wasn't miyash, and that's why the halacha should be that I should have to return it under those circumstances.